Once again, I want each of us to understand that our focus this year, 2015, is going to be a complete focus on what it means to follow Jesus. Now, many times, Christians too often look at the following of Jesus meaning that we're going to blindly follow Jesus. Faith that you and I have and been given to us by God is not a blind faith. It is a faith that is real. It is a faith that God has given us that will come down to our complete being along with His gift of grace, His gift of mercy. And He said, I'm going to give you the most special gift of all, and that gift that I'm going to give you is going to be the gift of love. Now, throughout Scripture, you will find there is only one personality within Scripture that has the authority to truly say they are total love. And that is all Scripture that directs us to the love of Almighty God, to His love extent that He was going to send His only begotten Son to take the blame for everything you and I and all the others have ever done or ever will do. Now that's true love. So when we talk about love, we need to understand that it is not always true love that we deal with from ourselves to others. It is only true love when we recognize that love as a gift from God Himself. He is the true love. As I'm studying and focusing for us on what it means to follow Jesus, I wanted this morning to bring you a message that is going, I hope, to be straightforward in God's Word. And the message that God has led me to bring is a message that deals with the truth of His Word. Now, all of us grew up, whether we're Christian or not, being afraid of the book of Revelation. Christians saying, now I'm staying away from that one. Let me tell you a little bit about God's love, focusing especially through the Old Testament and the book of Revelation. Daniel, you remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember Daniel, the kid's will from the lion's den. But I want you to remember that Daniel, whom God had touched with grace and mercy and an additional focus on wisdom, Daniel was told a story. You'll find this in the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Start with verse 1 there. That's the last chapter in Daniel. Start with verse 1, and you will hear the God speaking to Daniel about what you're going to hear in the book of Revelation. Here's the difference. God reveals to Daniel the things that are to come before the end of the age. Now, when I'm talking about the end of the age, many people say the end of time. Well, time isn't even relevant with God. The end of the age is the end of the period of time that God has chosen for you and I to be a part of this particular planet Earth. So when the Lord comes again to receive the church, it is not at that particular time that this earth, the old earth as we see it now, is destroyed. No. Jesus says, I shall reign. I will reign over my people. I will sit on the throne of David and I will reign for that 1,000 years. It is at the end of that time that God steps in and God says, that's it. It will never happen until the wisdom of God knows there's no one else on planet Earth or wherever he wants them to be to accept his Son as Lord and Savior. Only God knows that. Everyone is given the opportunity in their life to choose. So God says, Christians, I have given to Daniel the truth, also to David, but to Daniel this revelation. And then in Revelation we see John, the beloved, this same one, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, this is the gospel of John. This is the one that God has chosen to pin the book of Revelation. He told Daniel, Daniel, I've given you this sight, but I want you to seal it up. Do not speak of it, Daniel. To seal it until that time. Well, when did the time begin? The end time. It began at the birth of Christ. It began then full force after the crucifixion. That time period, 2,000 years ago, was the time period for the end. For 2,000 years, preachers have preached that any moment Christ shall come. Now, those who preach a certain time that Christ will come, you get up and you run real quick. For no one knows that time. Jesus said he didn't even know. Only his Father in heaven knew. So, Daniel, you seal it. John, you reveal it. The book of Revelation, Revelation itself means to unveil. To unveil. And Christians run from it. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him. And how did John get it? That's what you're going to learn today. So the time had come to when Jesus said, now, tell them. And all the book of Revelation is written to the 7 churches of Asia Minor. So the book of Revelation, not plural, it's Revelation, not Revelations. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. Are you hearing me? To the church. Many say, oh, that's a revelation to the world. That's the revelation to the church. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. It's Jesus' revelation to us. He said, I'm going to reveal to you my truth. And I want you to get about my business with my truth. Not what you think, not even what you believe you have seen. My truth must be truthful. So therefore, I'm going to reveal to the church what is to come about. Following Jesus in the mess. That's what I titled this one. In what mess? If you're living and breathing, you don't even have to answer that question. The mess that I've created within my own life. The mess the world has created. The mess that foreign nations have created. It's the mess. We wake up every day and we see the mess that the human race has made in God's world. So God gives his greatest gift of love. We say, yes, I believe. And then we decide to add to or take away so we don't hurt anyone's feelings. We will be politically correct. I would suggest to you folks that you'd be better off if you're godly correct instead of politically. That's not working too well for anybody nowadays. We're watching our own young men and women die on the battlefield because of foolishness of politicians. Jesus Christ is no politician. Jesus Christ is exactly who he says he is. How do you know, preacher? Because the Bible tells me so. You know, maybe we need to be singing a little bit more about the Bible telling me so. Following Jesus in the mess, listen to Revelation 1:1. You see, don't say this happened if the Bible doesn't say this happened. Preachers need to get to the point in their ministry where, and Christians included, where that thus saith the Lord our God is the only thing that we allow to come out of us. There's a battle going on inside of me continually. But it's nothing new for you because you have the same battle going on in you. Different names, different situations, but it's still the battle. And it's a mess. And every time I look at the messes in my life and attempt to put those messes on another personality, it always comes back home to me. You did it yourself. Lay, are you really that dumb? Yes, Lord. I've had more cases of the stupids than probably all of you put together. But listen to Revelation 1:1. This, I'm talking about the book of Revelation, that letter. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John. Now, if you say, I don't believe in angels, just don't read the rest of it. It's not going to do you any. If you do not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit of God and in the existence of all creatures that he says that he created, in which all were created for our well-being. Do you know that? We're the number one of all creation, and everything else was created for us. And God says, now I'm going to give you charge over what I've created. And I'm not going to bring it to our attention, but would you look in your own life of all that God has given us charge over, how much of it did we mess up and how much did God mess up? John, here's the truth. The time has come to reveal my truth to the world. But my truth cannot be accepted by the worldly. My truth must be focused from my people, from my church, from my son, from my spirit, into the heart of my people. And the truth is, I love everyone. But whosoever calls on my name will be saved. But who does not will have no hope. That's where Christianity, as the world looks, Christianity is so harsh. Because we said Jesus is the only way. For one thing, you and I as Christians did not come up with the saying that Jesus is the only way. It's in the book that God's given us called the Holy Bible. Now, folks, we are Christians. The Word of God is written to us and for us. But written to us and for us to take to a lost and dying world. Not for us to read, absorb, and God give us the light of it, and then we sit in our pews and sit at home and refuse to give the true answer when God has somebody call us or that we'll meet them out in public. Following Jesus means we can recognize the real Jesus. We can recognize the real Jesus. I don't have to guess. You don't have to guess. You know the real Jesus that's in your heart. You know him personally. You know how he speaks to you. He speaks differently to me. It's always a message of what you and I were created to get across to the rest of the world. You see, it must begin at the house of God. If the Christians will not hold the Word of God in our heart and our spirit, if we will not hold the Word of God in our spirit and give that Word of truth to a lost and dying world, who's going to do it? What if you lead the next individual that would have slaughtered your own grandchild? What if you lead that individual to Christ? And Christ said, there's a purpose of this. What if you lead that individual to Christ and it's somebody else's family member that you saved because you were faithful to the Word of God? The Lord said, you can recognize me. Revelation 1, verses 4 and the first part of verse 5. You see, Revelation is a book of love to us. Revelation, the letter, we call the book, is a revelation to God's children of victory. We got to look at it the way it was given to us. It is a victory book. So why would he use John the beloved? I don't know. Guarantee you John didn't know why. But here's you some biblical trivia. As John walked with the Lord, he had a brother, James. As you know, they were classified as the sons of thunder. Meaning many say short-tempered, but they would jump in there and say, thus saith the Lord. Little wild. James, John's brother, was the first apostle to be killed for his faith in Christ. John was the last apostle disciple to die in a prison. The Isle of Patmos was a prison. That's where he was. His brother died was the first one. He was the last of all the disciples. I wonder why that was. I don't know. But I do know this. There's a message in there that God will let us know that as soon as, when my mission is over on earth, the Lord says I get to come home. But folks, I do not get to choose my mission. I have to choose God's mission for me. Now, when I have completed whatever it is, I know that the Lord has said, come on home. But until then, you and I as Christians must stand strong and true to the Word of God. Must. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, listen to this, who always was and who is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne. Anytime you see seven, that's a perfect number. Many of the scholars will say that means the Holy Spirit before the throne of God, who is always interpreting our prayers. You and I mess them up so much. So the Holy Spirit will take the needs of the heart and the cry within our spirit directly to the Father and from Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All right. Jesus says, tell the church this. While all the kings are out there beating their chest about how great they are, it doesn't matter what nation that king is in charge of. Whether the king of the United States of America or the king of any other nation. Scripture tells us that Jesus happens to be the ruler of all the kings. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He will not bend a knee to the worldly that had been created, for He is the Creator. Therefore, you and I must lift His name holier than any name, and we must be about our Father's business. Must. Following Jesus means we will share in Jesus' victory. I told you this is a love letter to us. Christians, he's trying to tell the church, you're mine. You're coming home. You know, you and I have a hard time dreaming or thinking about earth as a vacation, don't we? So don't think of it that way. Think about earth and our stay here as being boot camp for what's to come. I get to share in Jesus' victory. You get to share in His victory. Why? Because you and I said we believe. Now listen to Revelation. This is the last part of verse 5 and verse 6 of Revelation 1. All glory to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding His blood for us. He has made us. Now catch it. How many people, how many times do you see a personality that will preach or teach or do anything else that always talks about me, me, me? I want you to look in the book of Revelation. Jesus is telling it's all about you. It's about us. His children. He said, He has made us what? A kingdom of priests for God His Father. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. That's a long time, folks. Jesus remains on the throne. He's never been off His throne. No worldly power will ever dethrone God Almighty. That's not our fear. You know what I fear the most? That Christians professing to know Jesus refuse to share the truth with those who don't. Christianity is very much inclusive. Whosoever will, let them come. But Christianity focuses on who Jesus is, not who you are. My Christian faith is in who Jesus is. Certainly not who I am as a human being or what I have been over the years as a human being. I point the world to the church of Jesus Christ. Look, within that church that we have been blessed to be a part of, His church, you will see the same problem with human beings as Jesus had with His disciples. I can never picture the disciples of Jesus walking along with them in the road, making their comments that poor Jesus was shaking his head, Lord, forgive them. Every other step would have to be such a prayer. But he said, I want you to see what kind of people I love. Those are the people just like you. I love Peter. although he denied me. So he wouldn't trust me when I watched him walk on the water. He became afraid when he took his eyes off me. But I loved him so much that I reached my hand down, grabbed his, and brought him back to the top. That's what Revelation is about. The revelation of Jesus to our heart. Revelation 2:17. And I will give to each one a white stone. This has to be some of you biblical scholars out there. You need to, that should be the focus on the church at Pergamum. Because when they would have competition or any of this, the trophies were not like we have. The trophies were the white stone. A white stone with an engraving on that white stone. Now listen how Jesus is telling the church. I will give to each one a white stone. And on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one will understand except the one who receives it. You think we don't understand each other now? God's going to give each of us a new name, and we're going to be the only ones that understand it outside of God. What it means. There's meaning in the name of Jesus. Is there not power in his name? Is there not glory in the name of Jesus? When I stand before the gate, if you want to use that analogy, I'm allowed to walk into heaven based on who I know, not what I know. Who do you know? Jesus. But see, I'm not going to have to say that. I said it when I accepted him. You and I, as Christians, have been introduced already. You think God doesn't know about you? For those of you who have large families, those of you who have grandchildren, those of you that look at your family, do you not know their names? Do you think that God doesn't know our names? Do you think that God doesn't understand the individual battles that you and I are going through? Just in existence? Do we not understand that he knows to such a depth, he's just waiting for us to act upon his promise? Call on me, you that are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take upon yourself my yoke, for my yoke is easy. Why? Jesus says that I'm part of his yoke. See, I don't see anything in my life easy except for my eternal security of the one with whom I am yoked. I said yes to Jesus. And after that, I've broken many, many promises over and over again. But he's never broken one to me. That's the difference. But he knows that. And he says, I want you to always look up. Listen to the third and final. What it means. We have a knowing hope of Jesus' return. See, the hope that I have as a Christian is a knowing hope. How do you know that? I don't know, but I do. Do you know you're saved? Yes. How do you know? Because Jesus said, if I will accept him as Lord and Savior of my life, that he will say yes, and he will come into my life, and no one, no power will ever be able to separate him from me. You mamas think that anybody could ever pull your child out of your arms to do harm to that child without you dying with that child? How much more God? How much greater God? Revelation 1:7. Now, this gets exciting, so you're going to have to sort of watch yourself. When I'm reading scripture sometimes, and people know I have the door shut, and a lot of times music is so loud, nobody can hear anything throughout the rest of the church. That's because sometimes I get a little excited in that office about the promises I'm reading. That's why they say you can't carry your tune. I've heard you singing in your office. You heard me shouting in my office. But yes, I can't carry a tune, but I don't have to. Listen to this, Revelation 1:7. Look! Woo! That means look. Pay attention. He comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. Boy, that's going back, huh? And all the nations of the world will mourn for him, meaning they will shout and weep because of their unbelief. They will mourn in his presence because they did not believe. All the nations of the world will mourn for him. And it ends, yes, amen. Amen means let it be done. Count it as it's already done. That's the end of the statement. Therefore, it will come to pass. So folks, following Jesus, they say, is so difficult. That's why you and I don't know how to do it. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. And within us, we trust. Do you really trust the Lord? Folks, I trust the Lord to the best of my ability as a human being to trust him. And then his Holy Spirit does the rest. I've never been called to do any kind of a ministry that God has not equipped me to do. Even though, as I stand in the pulpit for going on the 40 years of preaching, I've never felt that I've ever really been able to get hardly any of the messages across. So I suppose that the day comes where I think, boy, I got that one across. It'll be the Lord saying, come on home, Larry. You're out of it now for sure. Because you see, each heart is individually wrapped. It's like Jesus wrapped your spirit, your heart, in a special wrapping to hand to his Father. You and I are gifts from the Son of God to his Father. Jesus said he was. He says that you and I are his offspring. The church, the body, his body. And he says, Father, here's Larry. And he takes each one of us by name. He shines us up real pretty and hands us to his Father. So can you imagine? You and I are represented in heaven as a gift to God from his Son, and you thought you weren't important. Whosoever will, let him come. All of the gods of the land are not truly gods. My God has never told me to kill someone to protect his name. I was never told by God's Holy Spirit to go seek to destroy the individuals who would print up a picture supposed to be the picture of Christ, and then they urinate on that picture as art. That's their stupidity. Because you see, I do not worship a Christ on a picture. I do not worship a Christ that is unable to fend for himself. I worship a Christ that takes care of me because I can't fend for myself. I do not know what the enemy holds in store, but God does. And let me tell you, Christian, put this in your heart. The Lord says the individual that will dig a pit for you as a child of God, they will fall into their own trap. Do I believe it? You better believe it. I've seen it enough times. But I don't look at it as with a smiling heart. I look at it hurting. Because the greatest friend you'll ever have, that you'll ever find in your life, will end up being the greatest enemy you ever had, and you became friends. How do I know? You and I were born in sin, an enemy of God. We were raised in the world full of sin. And the one who accepts Jesus is the one who says, I believe Jesus is power greater than that of the world. So you see, being an enemy of God, meaning not believing or disbelief, I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. He was never a true enemy to me. But because of the human condition, the human race believes he is. How can you call the one who says, I love you, an enemy? How can you do that and be truthful? Allow God to touch your heart. Because folks, you just keep reading the book of Revelation. You ain't seen nothing yet. You will go on to the last chapter 21. And you will see he's already won. And when God wins, you and I, we're winners. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the blessing and the joy of salvation, for your love. Touch each of us now, Father, as we cry out to you for your help, for your mercy, and that we'll take your truth to a lost and dying world. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name.